You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this teaching from Pastor Mark. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
Title of my series is, If I Were the Devil. If I Were the Devil. And so, in case you don't like that, how many know I'm not the devil? We should tell some other people that. No, I'm not the devil. You're not the devil. But my point is, we're not supposed to be ignorant of the devil's devices. And so, you all live in Alabama or Tennessee. And so, I'm from the Midwest. And in the Midwest, we play basketball. I'm from Illinois and Indiana. So, you know, we play basketball up there. Football is kind of secondary. It's getting more. But and now when you move to Alabama, you know, you got to decide who you're for. And, you know, and if unfortunately you live in Tennessee, you know, then you need to convert, you know. So you got to at least be conversational about football, male or female. Doesn't matter. You got to at least know something. You got to know something. And so in playing any sport, whether it be football, basketball, tennis, boxing, you need to. And today, man, they have made it into such an art, even at the high school level, and sometimes even in football in the junior high level, is they scout out the other team. I mean, an iPhone, and now you have a video of, you know, what the quarterback does on a regular basis, what they normally run on first down. I'm talking football, y'all, okay? And so the schemes they run, the packages they run. So, you know, an iPhone now, and you've got a scouting tool. And what are you doing? You're looking at your enemy. And that's just a silly game. It's just a silly game. And some people are more aware of what's going on in a silly game than they are in life. I'm telling you, you've got a real enemy who wants to steal from you. He wants to kill you. And he wants to, not only after killing you, he wants to destroy everything about you and even the legacy that you'd try to leave. Y'all, the devil is serious about stealing, killing, and destroying. And you and I must get serious about not being ignorant. Let's get real serious about not being ignorant of the devil's devices. The Bible is full of who the devil is, his schemes, his tactics. So I'm just going to uncover a few of them. And so I have a little catchy title, If I Were the Devil, I'd, or If I Were the Devil, because I want you just to think about it. Think about him. He's a real enemy. Now, aren't you grateful that Jesus destroyed him? Our enemy is a defeated foe, but you still got to keep him under. Because if you don't know that Jesus crushed his head while he was bruising Jesus' heel, then you're going to let the devil, and I'm going to let the devil just kind of run in our lives. And it's not about what we were able to win yesterday. Today's a new season and a new day. And unfortunately, the devil's never going to give up. I went through something not too long ago, and I was asking the Lord, and I'll just bring it up. And I just said, well, Lord, who's doing that? Because, you know, I walk in the Spirit, and he's giving me names. I mean, I've been at lunches with people while they're talking about me. So I can operate that way in the Spirit. And so me and him got a thing going on, and so I just said, who is it? And I expected an answer. I expected a name. Because I've had that happen to me before, and I expected one. And he said to me, Satan. And I said, I know. I want to know who's doing it. And he said, I told you who's doing it. Satan, he said, quit looking at people and understand that in this hour especially that Satan is trying to destroy everybody, not just me, not just people you love. He hates everybody. Why? His time is short. His time is short. And so we got to understand what season we're living in, and we got to quit playing, so to speak, and get after it and not be ignorant. Because I'm telling you, this could be the best year you've ever had. 2018, it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. But remember, the Lord's marked us for Jubilee. What does that mean? We're going to keep recovering. We're going to keep winning. We're going to keep recovering. We're going to keep winning. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be ignorant. I know you wanted to say that to them a long time. Okay, I'll be fair. Turn back to them and tell them, don't be ignorant. Okay. All right. So one of the biggest devices that the devil has is strife. James chapter 3, verse number 14. James 3, 14 and James 3, 16. We'll just start at James 3, 16. For where envying and strife is, there is what? Confusion and how many evil works? Come on, y'all. I'm going to start with the big dog. Now, strife, the devil is trying to bring strife. He'll do it with a family, within a family. He'll do it with, he'll try to do it in church, definitely. He'll try to do it at your workplace. He could try to do it in a city, and he'll try to do it in a nation. Oh, he's working hard at that one. But you see, you got to understand that everything that's going on is not just natural. There's a force behind it. That's why the Lord kept telling me, because I asked him, you know, I just gave you the condensed version of mine, his conversation, because I wanted a name, rank, and serial number, because I was going to finish it. I was going to end it. But he let me know that it was Satan. And quit trying to deal with everything in the natural. Because if you don't if all you ever do is try to fix something in the natural, you're not fixing the root. And in order to kill something and to stop something, you got to go to the root. And so strife is one of those things that the enemy has always used. And it's really part of fallen man. Because if you look in Galatians chapter 5, it's one of the works of the flesh. But here, it's interesting in James 3:16, it says, where there is strife, there's confusion and every. How many know the Bible doesn't exaggerate? If I were the devil and I can get strife in your family, in a church, in a business, in a city, in a nation, I can bring with me every evil work. And I'm done. That's how powerful strife is. And that's why you and I are about to learn how it comes, and we're not going to play with it. So what is strife? It comes from this word, E-R-I-T-H-R-I-A, erythria. And so you understand what strife is. Strife, it's at work in someone's life, and it means the person's principal concern is to get what they want. So when someone is operating in strife, everything they're doing is for an end means to get what they want. They are so bent on getting what they want that they're willing to do anything, say anything, or sacrifice any standard or rule or relationship to achieve their goal. So when strife is at work through someone, and see, you're trying to treat them all normal, like you are in for trouble. Because you're thinking like a godly person who's walking in love, and they're thinking like the devil. They don't care about you, how it hurts you, how it hurts an organization, how it hurts a nation. They don't care about that. Strife is from the devil. He is the master of it. He is the initiator of it. There is no believer that is walking in the Spirit that is walking in strife. You cannot walk in the two at the same time. You must choose to walk in strife. Strife is a choice. It's not a personality defect. Because it's yielding spiritually to the devil. Because when someone is really in strife, they are bent on destruction. Merriam-Webster says it like this. Strife is a bitter, sometimes violent conflict or dissension, an act of contention. It's something that happens, a contention for superiority. So when someone is participating in strife, they're trying to put someone down, displace someone so they can rise up. That's what the devil did. So a synonym of strife would be conflict, discord, disharmony, disunity, division, friction, infighting, schism, warfare. So, did you know, especially in the book of Proverbs, how many of you know the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom? And so Proverbs has a lot of answer for us, especially, man, I just did not know that Proverbs were so full. So I want to just run through these. I can't stop and study everyone out because, I got 7 hours worth of stuff here in the next 10 minutes that I could do. And so I can't do that. But I want to give you these scriptures, and I really would like for you to write them down. And I really would like for you to kind of read over them when you have time. But I want to give you the causes of strife. What you and I can look for in someone or in a situation that lets us know that the door to strife has been opened, and that where there's strife, there's confusion and every evil work. And so we're going to look for these things, and we're going to look for them in our lives. And we're going to make sure, though, when we see them in others' life, that we're not going to become a party spirit or join to them or tolerate it or wink at it or just let it go by. Because where there's strife in your home, where there's strife in an organization, in a church, in a nation, wherever there's every evil work. All the devil needs is for us to get into strife so he can bring sickness, disease, poverty, everything that the devil is. He needs a door called strife, and he'll bring it to your home. And he'll just smile as he waltzes in, sets up camp, and creates havoc in your godly home. And so we're just not going to tolerate this. Amen. Not going to tolerate it. So what happens? Number one, anger. Proverbs 29:22 says, an angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression. Proverbs 15:18, a wrathful man stirs up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. Let's look at Proverbs 30:33. Can you put that one up for me? Proverbs 30:33. I love this. Surely the churning of milk brings what? Come on, you work on it. How many times does it happen if you churn milk, they get butter? All time. The wringing of the nose. I like the other translations is if somebody hits you in the nose, it's going to do what? So the forcing of wrath or anger brings forth strife. Count on it. Just like milk turns into butter, just like if someone punches you in the nose, there's blood coming. So is someone who is angry, full of wrath, it will bring strife. That's why the Lord tells you and I to deal with your anger before the sun goes down. Because see, You can't keep problems from coming or things happening and things done you wrong. We can all, it's done you wrong. I heard an old country song. My mom and dad used to listen to country music on the radio. And so I do have those things stuck in here. It's a song called Somebody Done Me Wrong song or something. I don't know. Oh, my Jesus, help us. I've tried to forget that. Push the delete button. But can you see? So number one, what brings strife? What opens the door? Anger. Everybody say this. I will not be angry. I will not associate with angry people. Mm-mm. Number two, hatred. Hatred. Proverbs 10:12 said, hatred stirs up strife. But love does what? Covers all sin. Hatred does what? Y'all know what hatred is. I mean, the Bible says this very clear. If you can't love someone that you can see, you don't love someone you can't see. So someone tells me they love God and they hate their brother. This is a safe place to say this. If you hate somebody because of how they look, because of the brick on the outside of their home, because you don't think it ought to be pink, give me a stinking break. But if you hate somebody, you can't love him. But hate is an open door to what? Strife. So someone's hatred. I hate all them Democrats. I hate all them Republicans. They're ignorant. They're stupid. No, they're just different. They might, each side might believe something ignorant or stupid. But see, when you do that, when you allow that those seeds of words to get, and it begins to stir up hatred, oh, trust me, your old flesh, it's still there. It's still there. And when you hate something, when you hate somebody, you are yielding to your flesh and you are not in the spirit. I got to hurry up. Number three, because I got a lot of these. Ridicule. Proverbs 22:10. Cast out the scorner. Cast out the scorner. The Bible says in Psalms 1, it talks about someone sitting in the seat of a scornful, a mocker, someone who is always causing trouble. It says, cast out the scorner, or he who sits in the seat of the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall do what? Cease. So someone that's in contention. So the message the Amplified Classic calls that cast out the scoffer. The NIV says cast out the mocker. The message says just get rid of the troublemaker. Jesus, let's get rid of the troublemakers. Amen. And if you get rid of them, what happens? Strife and reproach shall cease. So if strife comes when a person scorns, scoffs, and mocks, and just they cause trouble. The fourth reason that strife comes is it comes by talebearers or gossips and liars. Talebearers or gossips and liars. Proverbs 26:20. I love these in the Proverbs. Where no wood is, the fire goes out. So where there's no talebearer, no gossiper, no liar, the strife ceases. When the liar has been kicked out, when the liar got kicked out of heaven, there was no more strife. It was all done because God don't put up with it and you ought not put up with it. Don't let people lie to you. Well, I found it on the internet. Proverbs 16:28, a froward man sows strife, a whisperer, a talebearer, a gossip, separates close friends. I wish I could stop, but I ain't got time. Next one is someone who is quarrelsome. Proverbs 26:21 out of the Amplified Classic. As coals are to hot embers, and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man to inflame strife. Someone quarrelsome, always looking for a fight, always putting people down, always wanting to talk about something, always wanting to pick at it. Someone who's quarrelsome, someone who's always got a better way. Someone who, I mean, what is that? The Bible said that person or that attitude inflames strife. Oh, we got more. Contention. There's some of them is kind of similar. Proverbs 17:14 Amplified Classic says, the beginning of strife is as when water first trickles from a crack in the dam. Therefore, stop contention before it becomes worse and does what? And what? So you can stop it. So someone who's quarrelsome, you come on, you know, just contentious people. Just always fussing about something. Always complaining about someone. That kind of stuff always leads to strife, but you can stop it. The last one we're going to look at, there's more, but the last one we'll look at is pride. Proverbs 28:25. He that is of a proud heart does what? Stirs up strife. But he that puts his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. What was the number one sin? Pride. That's what got the devil kicked out of heaven. So because he's the master of strife, in other words, the devil doesn't need any facts. The devil doesn't even need any truth. All he needs is some people who are ignorant of his devices, and he can get them stirred up and get them into strife. And if he can get you into strife, he can bring with him everything that he has, every evil work. If I were the devil, I'd get you into strife. That would be really for me. I'm not the devil. I'm just telling you, don't be ignorant of his devices. So his number one tactic, his number one goal is to get you into strife. Because he gets you into strife. He gets a family in strife. He gets a church in strife. He gets a city in strife. He gets a nation in strife. Then he can bring with him. He can carry in every package that he's got with his strife. You ought to be aware of strife. You ought to make your mind up. I'll never participate in it. I will not allow it in my home. I'm just not going to have it. So in Philippians 2:3, it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let every person esteem themselves. I'm going to have to read it from up there. Let each esteem other better than himself. In other words, one of the things that'll stop strife is that you and I think we put a high value on everybody else's feelings. In other words, it's not about me. It's how are you doing? How you doing? I want to make sure you're okay. If we would be more concerned with how we come across to people, how we're making other people feel, then we could stop contention when it starts. We take that. Now, one of the things I want to take a side note is I was just wrapping this up last night. I'll just be real honest with you. I'm having a little bit. I'm having to watch. My wife is tired of it, but there's been a lot of good football. My football teams have been doing very well this year. I've had a good run in high school and college, and even the Colts came back from the dead. And I'm so excited. I bought a new Colts hat. So I'm having a really good football. But my wife has made the comment that I'm tired. I don't want to see it. I'm done. But we're not done. So we're not. Kind of while I was getting ready and stuff, even in all that, the Lord was very strong with me. And because you all have been taught submission to authority, and because in this church, if you've been with me any length of time, what I'm about to tell you, you've heard me teach on unity. How many of you know that unity is the opposite of strife? Because where there's unity, what happens? God comes and he commands his blessing. So that's why the devil works so hard to get someone in strife, because where strife is, there's absolutely no unity. And where there's unity, there's absolutely no strife. And you either get the Lord's blessing or every evil work. You choose. But the journey to get there isn't always that simple. And so in teaching on submission to authority and, being around this for a long time and the full counsel of the Word of God, sometimes when people teach on submission to authority and strife, they really take it to an overboard. So the Lord wants me to make sure we don't go overboard. Because, see, a lot of times in the name of unity, people tell someone, well, I don't get in strife. In other words, if something happens, just keep quiet about it. Don't make any waves, because you don't want to be in strife. But let me tell you that there's a huge difference. If I told, if you were someone and you had a friend that was going to get into a lot of trouble, and you knew the truth about a situation, and it really was the truth, and you weren't being a gossip, but what you had could actually spare them heartache, hurt, or injury, that's not strife. If you're in an organization, we're here at church, so let's just use church, and you've got something going on in your life, something that you don't understand, or something that someone did to you or said to you. Now, what is strife is if this happened, they're on the front row, so I'll just pick on them. So Pav, somebody did him wrong, and he tells Ashley about it. And Ashley's like, yeah, man. Whatever. I feel for you, Pav. But they talk about it. But Ashley can't help him. What is that? That is the beginning of strife. But, since they're worship team, if Pav had something go on and said, Dapo was mean to him the other day, because Dapo's kind of mean sometimes. He's known for his meanness. Probably yelling, too, I think. Yeah, if you don't know Dapo, that's so quiet. But anyway, but if he went to Ted and said, I was doing my best, and I hit a lick, and Dapo gave me a stare and called me an idiot, and, but if he went to Ted, Ted's in charge of the worship team. That's not the beginning of strife. That's the beginning of getting something fixed. So if you've ever been told to, or this is real important. This one seemed real important. If someone's doing something and something to you, or you know they're doing something that's wrong or going to cause trouble, and then they say to you, don't tell anybody, though, because you don't want to be the beginning of strife. That's not the beginning of strife. That's called manipulation. That's knowing enough of the word to keep your mouth shut. That's not that has nothing to do with causing strife. So on the other end of it, I don't want you to think, because I've had people say to me, something happened, and they'll say, and it was something big or whatever. Now, if you don't like the color of the bathroom, I'm not changing it, all right? If you don't like the black carpet, I didn't either at first, but it's fine. Stuff like that. I'm talking about if somebody did something to you and you held it in the name of not causing strife. All that's going to do in you is cause bitterness, which will get you out of love, which is week number two. So you have to understand what I'm talking about here. So Being in unity is not just shutting your mouth and taking it. You have to discern. And guess what? The Holy Ghost on the inside of you will let you know. But listen, anytime there's a situation and you tell somebody who's in charge who can fix it, that's not strife. If you tell somebody who is in an equal place who can't fix it, that is strife. In other words, you have to think, if I'm going to tell somebody something's going on, if they can help me fix it, then that's good. If they can't help me fix it, then I'm just gossiping. I'm just talking. Sometimes I've seen it done. When I first started in these circles, you know, I came from a Methodist background. We didn't pray out loud except for let the words of my mouth. So we never prayed out loud. We didn't go to groups and stuff. But then I came among the charismatic Pentecostals, and they had prayer meetings. And so they had open requests. And so the requests were always 5 minutes of gossip, because I came from a small town. I heard that Brother Bill was up at the horse, what's that name of that bar? But so this was a real prayer request. I heard Brother Bill was up by the honky tonk. What, I don't remember what it was called. Lone Star. No, I don't remember what it was. See, I never went. We need to pray for his wife. I heard they were having trouble. That's why, you know, call me ruined, but that's why we don't take like open requests around here. Because what was that? It was really gossip. And then we're going to tack a prayer on it. I found it funny. Are y'all with me when it comes to I want you to be clear about strife. Because just being silent doesn't mean that you are not in strife. It means you could be allowing strife to go free. If you can tell someone who is in a position of authority who can fix it. You know, I'm immediately thinking mom and dad and home. Now, how many of you know, as a parent, you've got to discern, did this really happen or is this a talebearer? Is this child just trying to get that child in trouble because they're mad at that child? You know, and so as a parent, you can do what? You can discern. And so as a leader has to then discern and get the facts. I mean, mom and dad have eyes in the back of their head, and like we have 20 ears and stuff. Like, I mean, we know stuff. And so you have to trust the people in leadership also know stuff. All right, we got that all cleared up. Because what are we trying to get to? We're trying to get to unity. Because we want the devil wants strife so he can bring in every evil work. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no division." Everybody shout, no division. No division. Among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Ephesians 4:3 says that we should keep the unity in the Spirit in the bond of peace, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then in 1 Peter 3:8-11, the first part, chapter verse 8, talks about all being in the same mind. And then let's look at Psalms 133. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in what? Was just the opposite of strife. If I were the devil, I'd get you into strife. I'd come to your family with strife. I'd come to a church with strife. I'd come to your business with strife. I'd come to a city with strife. If I wanted to make a big impact, I'd come to a nation with a boatload of strife. And then when they begin to bite on it, when they begin to be angry, when they begin to be quarrelsome, when they begin to hate, when they begin to ridicule, when they begin to, be contentious, when they were full of pride, then the devil had his open door. And then as he got them to participate in that strife, then he can bring every, it's not an exaggeration, y'all, every evil work. then God, on the other hand, is saying to us, if I can get them in unity, if I can get them in harmony, if I can get them to say the same thing, if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight, if I can get them to agree together in prayer, whatsoever, I mean, come on, when two agree on earth as touching any one thing, what's the Bible say? It shall be done. If I can get them to agree, if I can get them to harmonize, if I can get them to symphonize, if I can get them in unity and one accord. And then so it says in verse number 2, what is this unity like? It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down on the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down the skirts of his garment. Verse 3. As the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the Mount of Zion, for there the Lord commands. When he finds unity, and you see, I think it's more rare than we would like to believe or hope for. But when there's true unity, there, come on, when God commands something, it's the same as he said, let there be light, and there was light. The same kind of command of faith. When he finds unity in a home, when he finds unity in a church, when he finds unity in a city, when he finds unity in a nation, the Bible says he commands the blessing of the Lord.
We hope you were inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org, check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWOLMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know him so you too can make him known.